بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
طه
طه
ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى.
We did not reveal the Quran to you to cause you distress.
إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى.
It is only a reminder for him who fears Allah. It is only a reminder for him who fears Allah.
If this statement is read in conjunction with the previous one, the purpose of it becomes quite clear. What is emphasized here is that God did not reveal the Quran in order that the Prophet, peace be upon him, might accomplish something that is impossible to achieve. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is not required to make those who had consciously decided not to accept the truth believe in it. Nor is he required to imbue faith in people whose hearts have been sealed against acceptance of that faith. The Quran was revealed simply as a reminder and as an admonition so that those who feared God might take heed. The Prophet, peace be upon him, need not pursue those who have no fear of God and who are not the least bit concerned with distinguishing between right and wrong.
مَنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى.
A revelation from him who created the earth and the high heavens.
الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى.
The most compassionate Lord is settled on the throne of the universe. The most compassionate Lord is settled on the throne of the universe.
The Lord of the universe did not retreat into retirement once the universe was created. Far from it. He continues to govern the universe and to exercise control over his seemingly infinite dominion. In short, he is not only the creator of the universe, but also its sovereign and its actual ruler.
له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى.
To him belongs all that is in the heavens, and all that is in the earth, and all that is in between, and all that is beneath the soil.
وَإِن تَجَهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى.
Whether you speak out aloud or in a low voice, he knows what is said secretly, and even that which is most hidden. Whether you speak out aloud or in a low voice, he knows what is said secretly, and even that which is most hidden.
It is not necessary for the believers to always bemoan their sufferings to God. He is well aware of the acts of wickedness and mischief which their opponents employ against them. He is even aware of those grievances which lay concealed in their hearts, unarticulated.
Allah la ilaha illa huwa lahul asma'ul husna.
Allah is He beside whom there is no God. His are the most excellent names. Allah is He beside whom there is no God. His are the most excellent names.
To say that God has the best names amounts to saying that God has the best attributes.
وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى.
Has the story of Moses, peace be upon him, reached you?
إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًى.
When he saw a fire and said to his family, "Hold on, I have just perceived a fire. Perhaps I will bring a brand from it for you, or I will find some guidance at the fire about the way to follow." When he saw a fire,
this happened when the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, after his years of exile in Midian, was on his way back to Egypt with his wife, whom he had married there. In its bare outline, the story narrated there runs thus. After Moses killed a Copt, peace be upon him, he feared that he would be arrested. Hence, his departure from Egypt and his taking refuge in Midian.
and said to his family, "Hold on, I have just perceived a fire. Perhaps I will bring a brand from it for you, or I will find some guidance at the fire about the way to follow."
It appears that this occurred on a wintry night. Moses, peace be upon him, was crossing the southern part of the Sinaitic Peninsula when he saw a fire in the distance. He decided to venture over to the place where he saw the fire in the hope that he would either be able to obtain some fire that would keep his family warm during the night, or at least gain directions for the journey ahead. Ironically, he went to that spot expecting to find the way to his destination in this world, only to find a way that was far more valuable, the way to success and felicity in the hereafter.
When he came to it, a voice cried out to him, "Moses, peace be upon him, verily, I am your Lord.
Inni ana rabbuka fakhla'n 'alayk innaka bilwadi al-muqaddas tuwa."
Take off your shoes. You are in the sacred valley, Tuwa. Take off your shoes.
These words uttered by God probably led the Jews to believe that it was unlawful to perform this prayer with their shoes on. It was in order to remove this misunderstanding that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Act in ways contrary to those of the Jews, for they do not offer the prayer with shoes and leather socks on." This does not mean that one must necessarily offer the prayer with one's shoes on. What is meant by the hadith is that it is lawful to pray with one's shoes on. Hence, the Islamic position on the question is that Muslims may pray in both ways, either with their shoes on or off. A tradition has been reported by Amr ibn al-As to the effect that he saw the Prophet, peace be upon him, offering prayers in both manners. For instance, on one occasion, with his shoes on, and on another, with his shoes off. It has also been reported both in the Musnad of Ahmed ibn Hanbal and in the Sunan of Abu Dawud on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "When any of you comes to the mosque, he should have a look at his shoes and clean them by rubbing them against the earth if they are soiled with filth, and offer prayers with your shoes on." The same tradition narrated by Abu Huraira records the following saying by the Prophet, peace be upon him, "If any of you treads over filth with his shoes, the earth suffices to clean it." According to Salama, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if one's shoes were soiled with filth, one's subsequent walking on the earth would purify them. In view of the large number of such traditions, several jurists such as Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf, Azwai, and Ishaq ibn Rahawa are of the opinion that shoes that are soiled by filth are inevitably purified by the earth as a result of one's walking. There is one report each from Ahmed ibn Hanbal and Shafi in support of this doctrine. The generally known view of Shafi, however, is opposed to this practice. Presumably, Shafi considered praying with shoes on as being inconsistent with the reverence required for the act of prayer, and it is on this account that he asked people not to offer prayers in that manner. It is generally understood, however, that Shafi did not believe that shoes which had become soiled with filth were purified by rubbing them against the earth. In this respect, it is worth mentioning that in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, the mosque floor was not even covered with a thatch mat. It was simply covered with pebbles. Hence, it would not be appropriate for anyone today, basing themselves on the practice followed in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to walk on the floor of a mosque with his shoes on. One may, however, pray with one's shoes on in open areas or on grass. As for those who insist that even while offering the funeral prayer, a person must necessarily take his shoes off, in our opinion, they are simply ignorant of the relevant rules.
You are in the sacred valley, Tuwa.
It is generally believed that Tuwa was the name of this valley. Some scholars, however, are of the view that the expression Al-Wad Al-Muqaddas Tuwa means the valley that was temporarily made sacred.
وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى.
I myself have chosen you. Therefore, give ear to what is revealed.
إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا فَاعْبُدَنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي.
I am Allah, there is no God other than me, so serve me and establish prayer to remember me. I am Allah, there is no God other than me, so serve me and establish prayer.
This indicates the main purpose of the prayer, that man may not become oblivious of God, that the glittering allurements of this world may not make him impervious to the basic fact that he is God's servant, that man may not remain under the illusion that he is free to do as he pleases. Prayer is the most potent means of keeping this consciousness fresh in man's mind. It enables him to maintain a strong, vibrant relationship with God. Prayer weans man away many times a day from the ordinary humdrum existence of daily life. It orients him towards God. Some scholars have interpreted this verse to mean that man should offer prayers so that God may in turn also remember him, as has been said elsewhere in the Quran. So remember me, I will remember you. Al-Baqarah 2:152. Incidentally, this verse also provides the groundwork for the ruling that if one forgets to offer prayer, one should offer it immediately one remembers such an omission. A hadith reported by Anas ibn Malik says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, one who forgets to perform prayers should do so whenever he recalls it. Nothing else is required to be done. Another hadith of similar import, narrated by Abu Huraira, is recorded in Abu Dawud and Al-Nasai. Abu Qatada reports that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked by the people what they should do if they overslept the time of prayers, the Prophet replied, there is no sin if one is asleep. Sin is incurred when one does not pray while one is awake. If any of you forgets to pray or is asleep at the time of prayers, you should offer prayers when you wake up or when you remember.
إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى.
The hour of resurrection is coming. I have willed to keep the time of its coming hidden, so that everyone may be recompensed in accordance with his effort. The hour of resurrection is coming. I have willed to keep the time of its coming hidden, so that everyone may be recompensed in accordance with his effort.
The doctrine of the hereafter is the second most important doctrine in Islam, the doctrine next in importance to monotheism. This is a basic truth, revealed to all the prophets in different periods of history, a truth which they were all required to expound. The present verse states both the nature and purpose of this doctrine. The last day will come to pass so that man may be recompensed for what he has done. The time of its coming, however, has been kept hidden so as to test people. Those who are to any extent concerned with the hereafter will remain ever fearful lest the last day suddenly takes place. This, in itself, is likely to deter them from committing evil. By contrast, those who are fully immersed in worldly pursuits will be inclined to consider the hereafter a remote possibility.
فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى.
Let him who does not believe in it and follows his lust not turn your thought away from it, lest you are ruined.
وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى.
And what is in your right hand, O Moses? And what is in your right hand, O Moses?
This question was not asked for the sake of soliciting information, for God knew well that Moses had a rod in his hand, peace be upon him. The purpose of the question was to make Moses fully conscious of what he was carrying in order that he might appreciate the astonishing manifestations of God's power that he was about to witness.
قال هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها وأهش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى.
Moses, peace be upon him, answered, this is my staff. I lean on it when I walk, and with it I beat down leaves for my flock, and I have many other uses for it. Moses, peace be upon him, answered, this is my staff. I lean on it when I walk, and with it I beat down leaves for my flock, and I have many other uses for it.
Moses, peace be upon him, could simply have said that it was a rod. However, the lengthy reply which he gave provides an interesting clue to his state of mind. It is understandable that if out of good luck a person meets a distinguished person, he tries to prolong his conversation with the same. This is because such a meeting presents both a pleasure and an honor. In Moses' case, the desire to prolong the conversation naturally arose because he was in the presence of none other than God himself.
He said, "Moses, peace be upon him, throw it down." So he threw it down, and lo, it was a rapidly moving snake. He said, "Seize it and have no fear. We shall restore it to its former state."
وَاضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَى جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةً أُخْرَى.
And place your hand in your armpit. It will come forth shining white, although unharmed. This is another sign of Allah. And place your hand in your armpit. It will come forth shining white, although unharmed.
Although Moses' hand, peace be upon him, would become as bright as the sun, this would happen without causing him any harm. The biblical account of the miracle of the bright hand, however, is somewhat different and has also found its way into Muslim works of Quranic exegesis. According to the biblical account, when Moses, peace be upon him, took his hand out of his armpit, it looked as though it belonged to a leper. When he put it back into his armpit, it was restored to its original healthy state. See Exodus 4:6. The Talmud too describes the miracle in a similar fashion. The rationale behind all this being that since Pharaoh suffered from leprosy, a fact which he had concealed from others, Moses, peace be upon him, was granted the capacity to produce this particular miracle so as to impress upon him that this disease could be as instantly cured as it had arisen. This view, however, does not seem plausible for more than one reason. First, it seems inconsistent with good taste that a messenger of God would be sent to an emperor's court with a miracle which pertains to a disease as repulsive as leprosy. Even if we were to consider it plausible that Moses, peace be upon him, would have been endowed with such a miracle, it still seems worth asking what the significance of such a miracle would be. For if Pharaoh was afflicted with leprosy, this miracle would only be meaningful to him. It would have made no impact on his courtiers. It seems appropriate, therefore, to adhere to the view we have expressed, namely, that when this miracle was performed, Moses' hand, peace be upon him, looked as bright as the sun, so much so that it dazzled all onlookers. Many of the earlier commentators of the Quran have adopted this very view of the miracle.
لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبَرَى.
For we shall show you some of our greatest signs.
اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
And go to Pharaoh now, for he has transgressed all bounds.